Excellent. Well, we are recording. I'm just going to confirm that I can hear the recording. And I can. So perfect. So let's start with the basics. Who are you and what do you do and how do we know each other?
Good question. I am Jennifer Jones, and I am the e-learning director at Bellingham Technical College. And I believe we first met on Twitter online, and we've continued conversations through every social media, I think, that's evolved in the last year or so.
That sounds about right. Would you say that we actually do know each other?
We know bits and pieces about each other, I would say professionally and personally, but we've not met in person.
Fair enough. So the reason I wanted to talk to you, I mean, there's a bunch of reasons actually. I think you think about online community a lot as a part of your work, but also as a part of your personness.
Part of my obsession.
Okay, is it an obsession?
I've always been interested in organizational behavior, whether it's online or in person. So, I've just kind of been an observer forever. So the social media is very interesting to me. So I wouldn't say it's an obsession, but personal and professional interest that overlap. Yes.
So what
How's
do you,
that?
that's pretty good. So what do you see?
I see a lot of interesting things. Right now, I'm fascinated with the fact that there's this educational community that sees itself as very large when it's very small.
Say more about that.
Well, I'm imagining there's probably several hundred people that have been connecting through various media for a couple of years now, and collaborating and working on things together. And I think we make a lot of assumptions about how teaching should be done, and that we kind of gather together and go against things or for things and support each other. But I think there are probably larger communities out there doing different kinds of things that we're probably missing out on.
There's a lot in there I want to unpack in what you
I'm
just
sorry.
said. No, don't apologize. That's great, actually. You say that there is an un-a community, right? And this presentation is called The Lie of Community, in part because I think
Yeah.
you should describe it, and in part because I don't know that the community that you think of and the community that I think of are the same community.
No, they're absolutely different. In fact, I think that what I have around me is completely my own fabrication, and I use it for my own purposes. I don't think we even use the tools in the same way, but you can probably overlap people and find some type of measurement that would create something you could call a community or group based on the types of interactions, the length of connectivity, and I wouldn't even center it around the tools unless you're counting numbers of tools. For example, we connect through blogs and Gmail and Twitter and Skype and Facebook and wherever, Flickr, and I think that's a different type of connection than just the people I communicate back and forth with on Twitter. So, nope, my community is mine, and I change it as I see fit, and I think everybody should do the same. But I do think there probably is a pretty solid group, or whatever you're going to call it. I don't know what it is in the CCK08 this week, but I think there's a pretty solid group of people out there that have been connecting with each other and through each other and collaborating for a little while now.
So, how do you decide who is in or what is in? And you don't have to name names unless you want to, but how do you decide what your community is or your network, right? I mean, that's another term. You mentioned CCK08. They're talking a lot about community versus network, and I find that to be a really interesting dichotomy, but neither are there. Or maybe we can come back to that. How do you make decisions about what counts for you as community?
I think some of it you have control over and you can make the decisions. Some of it occurs organically. Some of it is people seeking you out, and those connections, whether you pull them into your network or not, depends on how you interact with those people. But I would say a good example is when I deleted my Twitter account. I think I was following, I can't remember. I think you've got the video, maybe 130 or so people. And then I reinstated it, and I'm now following more people than I followed before. And some very different people. There's another time where I completely wiped out everyone I was following, and I started over from scratch. And that time I experimented by following, I think I followed only the people that I had met in person, and then anybody that they sent an app message to, I would add, and then I would add anybody who sent me an app message. I've also done experiments where I've taken my Google Reader and only followed people I know, or only followed people who responded on my blog, or at one point I only followed K through 12 bloggers. So I do a lot of experimentation to find the mix that works for me. And a lot of it has to do with what kind of projects I'm working on. Right now I'm working on a mobile learning project, so I'm looking to connect with people that are involved in mobile learning.
So, wow, that's really interesting. I didn't realize you were so intentional about this. I knew you were intentional about it, but it sounds like you're constantly at play with your what makes up your network or community at any one time.
I would say not constantly, but there are times where I know I need to either raise a skill level, learn something new, or I've heard about something interesting and want to know more about it, or I followed somebody that's onto a new theory or something that's fascinating to me, and I realize I need to shake up the network a bit and make some changes in order to go in that direction.
So you and it sounds like you've done that a bunch of ways. You've fiddled with your aggregator, your Google Reader. You've fiddled with your Twitter account. What are some other tools that you've fiddled with in terms of friending or grouping or other things like that?
I've done it in Facebook, and I've done that a few times. When I left Twitter, I jumped into Facebook, but I didn't, let's see, I think I saw maybe a handful of people that I knew from other places who had contacted me when I left Twitter to say that they missed me on Twitter, so I added them on Facebook, and I started using the Facebook status updates there, almost like I use Twitter to put my updates there, and several people added me in Facebook. Previously, I think I only had 30 friends in Facebook, and I really didn't use it for anything but Scrabulous. And then when Scrabulous went away, it was kind of a big change for a lot of us, because I think that object-centered sociality around Scrabulous was its own little community. So, I fiddled around in Facebook. I tried updating statuses, but I don't install applications, and I don't do any of that poking and super poking or any of those things. I just kind of observe.
Yeah, I think poking is weird, and I'll leave that. I don't understand it. It
Maybe
just
if I ever poked somebody back, I'd understand it, but I don't think I have.
I don't get it. I find it weird. So let's back up, and you said a couple of things. First of all, I want to talk about you gave up Twitter. Like you, that was a big deal, I think, for a lot of people. I don't know if it was a big deal for you. I want to talk about that in just a second. But before I do, you said that when you did that, folks sort of gravitated towards you in Facebook or vice versa. Like, it seems like you gave up the tool, but you didn't give up the connections.
Oh, definitely. I don't think it's about the tool. However, I do have strong feelings about Twitter being more important than other tools because of its simplicity. But it's definitely not about the tool. And some very interesting things happened when I left Twitter. I had one person contacted me through Flickr saying, "I'm your friend on Flickr, and I follow you in on Twitter, and I really miss you on Twitter," and wrote me a pretty long letter about how she'd actually favorited some of my updates and missed that they were gone. So that was interesting. And then I had somebody send me a letter in Facebook saying, "I followed you on Twitter, and I was afraid to ever say anything. I never said anything, but I'm doing some similar work, and I'd like to connect." And then I had a few people contact me through my blog and some just through Gmail. So I really made some new and very interesting connections when I left because people reached beyond that medium.
So they really were interested in the access to you, for lack of a
Yes.
better term. Yeah, I mean, I think I was one of those people. I'm pretty sure that I tried to figure out another way to connect with you because I find
Yeah.
learned
And
from you.
the funny thing is that the Gmail chat didn't work. I think you and I were adding each other at exactly the same time. So every day when I log into Gmail, it still says, "Do you want to add Butthunt as a friend?" It still pops up and I say yes every day.
That's an affirmation for
Yeah.
you. That feels good. Thank you. So let's back up and talk about Twitter. You gave up Twitter, and it was a very intentional thing you did. Can you tell that story a little bit?
Sure. I think anybody who follows me on Twitter knows that I use it probably less for work and less for professional development than I do, just to say silly things and get responses and lighten up the day. So I think I was getting to the point where I realized I would post something and wait for feedback. And I remembered back in the days, the old bulletin board system days where you'd have a live BBS and there'd be people at night and they'd say, okay, goodbye, I'm going to bed, and they'd wait for responses and then, okay, now I'm really going to bed, and okay, I'm really gonna go to bed now. And I took a look at myself and I thought, am I that person? Because those people were really annoying to me. So I don't know if you can see the parallel there, but I would say something funny and wait for someone to laugh or respond or something to come back. And I thought, this isn't really what I need right now. It felt more like an ego feed than what I needed. So instead of just being dramatic and saying, okay, I'm leaving Twitter and blogging about it or whatever, I just deleted my account. And that was it. And what happened while I was going through that, I was thinking, wow, I've got, I don't know what it was, 900 something or other followers. And that was the only reason I could think not to delete my account, was because I'd worked so hard to get those followers. And I thought, if that's the reason why I don't want to delete my account, then I'm in it for the wrong reason. And so I deleted it.
Say more about that. Why were you in it for the wrong reason?
Well, because it seemed, if you're valuing just this collection of followers, I just really couldn't see why I valued that. I couldn't see, what that really meant to me.
So it was a distraction.
I don't think the number of followers was a distraction because I didn't pay that much attention to it. But when it came down to thinking, it's just a tool, and there are these lists and ranks of there used to be the Tweeter board, and there's some new thing now for how people are ranked on Twitter, and new people come on and say, wow, you've got this many followers and I'm gonna follow you. And right now I only have 173 followers, and it hasn't really made that much of a difference.
So you're not changing the way you use the tool.
I thought I would when I came back, but I think it's just my personality to just kind of mouth off every once in a while and see what happens. I'm not on as often. I don't sit there refreshing it as much as I used to, and I'm not following everyone and having it sent to my phone. However, I did last week set it up so I could post from my phone. But I did have a lot of the people I was following running to my phone, and I would look at it when I wasn't in front of a machine, and I don't do that anymore.
Okay, so you left. We talked a little bit about what happened when you left, that your network sort of followed you away from the tool and into new connections and new places.
However, would they really be my network? Because a lot of them were people I hadn't really even spoken with.
Okay, fair. Good point. So people found you to be, sorry to be crude, but a node of value, right?
Something like that, yeah.
That term, it
I
just
think
sounds.
some of them even mentioned that.
I mean, that was the case for me, I think, because I had found your work to be useful in my work, particularly some of the sharing sessions that you had done. And so that happened, and some folks tried to sort of reroute their networks to make sure that you were still attached. And then you came back. Why'd you come back?
I came back, because I'm doing this mobile learning project and I don't know enough about it, and I realized that the only way I can network enough to get my questions answered is through Twitter.
Okay. So it became you needing to access other people who use Twitter as a tool.
Really? Yeah, I couldn't think of any other way. Even putting it on my blog, certain people read, but they're not necessarily the ones who are doing this work, but I can get the word out pretty quickly on things on Twitter and find other people who are doing the same thing. I think it's the fastest and simplest way to build connections.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. One of the things that creeps me out about Twitter, though, is that it seems like at least for me, sometimes those connections are, I don't want to say shallow because that's not the right word, but less useful than they might be if they were made in other places. I'm not saying that right, but I know I took a Twitter break for a while. It was very intentional. I just shut it down for like a week and a half, and I found that I was doing deeper work in other places. Did that happen to you at all?
I think the types of interactions I was having continued in other places. I wouldn't necessarily say deeper work, but I don't think I use Twitter the way you do. I think you do a lot more work in that space than I do.
Yeah, it might be true, actually. That's another thing that I. Well, let's ask about that. I'm going to ask you about that now. I'm a bad writing teacher. I am going to tell you what I am about to tell you. By telling you that, I'm going to tell you. So, you talked about how Twitter has been more personal for you than professional, but you came back because of the professional. How do you draw those lines between, or do you? Between your personal networks and your professional networks, or your personal communities and your professional communities.
That's actually really interesting for me because before I started getting involved with the education community online, I ran a mom site, a mom community that I'd been involved with for 6 years or so. And when I joined up with this educator group, I pretty much completely dropped my other communities, and I'd been heavily involved with those daily, and I completely switched to a different community. And I think it was because this community addresses my personal needs and my professional needs.
So for you, there's not really a difference.
I don't think there is, and I think it's because the people that I've decided to include in my network are people that have a lot of things in common with me, which I think is part of the problem. I'm not following a lot of people that are giving me new things. I think I'm probably saying a lot of the strangest stuff out there, and some people disagree with me, but I'm not seeing a lot of diversity in the community that I participate in.
How do you deal with that?
How do
Or
I
do
what?
you, how do you deal with that? Or do you?
It's bothered me more and more lately because my real life, the real world, kind of mirrors that. So I'm getting a lot of the same and same and same, and I'm interested in finding new ideas, and I'm not sure how to make that leap. I really don't know. I wouldn't even know what to Google.
I like that your first thought was, well, I could Google something.
I could Google something, but I don't know what to Google.
Right. Diversity, no, that's not it. Anyway, cool. So, gosh, that's hard. I mean, I know that my network diversity, the connections that I try to make, I'm always thinking about that too. I was kind of hoping you had a really good answer.
Well,
So thanks.
now that I think about it more, there have been people that I've followed that say things that are not what I necessarily agree with or believe in, and I usually stop following them because their tone offends me, not necessarily their message. So I really steer clear of people that are negative or inflammatory or try to attack other people. So those types of people are never going to be in my network. So if those are the ones that have the different ideas from me, then I don't see that I'm ever going to come up with that diversity.
So really for you, the person as well as the idea is important. The personal and the professional, just like you said, your networks are sort of the same emerged.
Yeah, I'm really big on honesty and trust, and I feel that the people that I bring closest to me are people that I can trust, And I believe, you know, I've been doing this online stuff for a long time, and I've been the person that's been a community moderator that's you know, found the trolls and the liars and the frauds, and so it's important to me to maintain relationships with people that I can trust. You know, whether they believe the same thing as me or not doesn't matter, but you know, if somebody's going off attacking somebody else, then they're not the type of person I would trust anyway.
How else do you know if somebody is trustworthy, in air quotes here, online?
I think one of the ways is when you have multiple connections, you know, in the way you see them interact with other people, and also the openness of their work. I think if you can see what they're doing every day, if you can see examples of their work, and if they're inviting others in, if they're publishing openly, if they're teaching openly, especially with teachers, if you can see their students or their administrators in the electronic space, and you know, it's almost like getting a personal recommendation.
So the transparency is really important.
Absolutely.
So what advice then would you have? No, I'm going to ask you that question in a second. I want to go back to something you said about your when you left Twitter and when you came back. You took some, I hate to say this, and I need a better phrase. You took some folks with you in some ways. You kept connections, you maintained connections, and then you, am I saying that right?
I would say that the people that were most important to me, I was already communicating with them through other sources. So I never had that distress about not being able to find somebody. You could find almost everybody in the 366 Flickr group, you know, or you know, and I've got a few people in Skype, and I've got a few people in the Gmail chat, and then you know, I never had the fear of losing anybody because most of them every day I would see in another space.
So you really had lots of connectors.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, then that makes my question moot. I was going to ask sort of what you noticed about as you went from tool to tool, what stayed, and what it sounds like you're saying is it wasn't about that single tool being the only way that you interacted with.
No, it's just a tool, and I think that's why I didn't really publicize it much when I left, because there was some drama, and I did have some people say that I was being dramatic, but all I did was close an account with a web service. Seriously, that's all it was. The people are all still there.
I find. Go
I can find you.
ahead.
That's my message.
There you go. That's a
If
creepy
I've talked to
message.
you, I can find you
Okay.
someplace
All right.
else.
So, yeah, the whole drama bit I think is interesting when you think about community because I one of the other people I'm hoping to talk to for this series is. Somebody that I have disagreed with publicly and privately about the air quotes again, the rules of say an online community or specifically this education community that we're sort of talking about but don't have a really good name for. And I argue that there aren't really a lot of rules that everybody sort of makes their own. What do you think about that? Are there some shared rules? Not so much.
I don't want to take sides because I know who the other person is.
Oh, no, and it's not.
But I've argued as well. But seriously, we can't make rules for this kind of stuff. It just has to happen, and everybody's space is their own. You're in my machine right now. That's where you are. And you're there because I chose to allow you there. So I don't know that there need to be rules, because if I don't want somebody around, I just ignore them or hide them or whatever the tool feature is. I never get harassed, and people don't bother me very long because they're gone. So I don't know why there should be rules for a community when we all have the filters that we need to make our communities what we want, if that makes any sense.
It makes perfect sense, and I think that's one of the distinctions between, say, a digital or an online community. I can't ask my neighbor to move, right? I can build a fence, but I
You
can't
can get
evict.
a loud dog.
I tried that. I can't evict my neighbor, right? But I can change the literal makeup of a digital community for me or my
Absolutely.
network. And I think that that's sort of one of the lies of community, is that we don't have these forced groupings. We don't have these forced relationships, so we can make some choices that we wouldn't have otherwise made. And I wonder if that is one of the illusions that people sort of fall into, is that they don't think about a block, or they don't think about an ignore feature.
I think so, but I think, in some ways that does get down to the issue of rules because people feel a natural kind of etiquette around this, whether they've read it somewhere or if it's just because the tools are new and we're not exactly sure how to use them. When you friend somebody, the word friend has a lot of meaning to us. So, how do you remove someone as a friend? How terrible. And I think I've blogged about that before. I'm not sure, but sometimes I've wanted to go into Facebook and get rid of some of my friends. How awful does that sound? But you just need to be able to get beyond that. And I think that's hard, especially for new people into the virtual spaces. Especially if you maybe are accepting someone as a mentor and then find out they're not really the type of person you want to associate with, to unfriend them or to stop following them, that can be traumatic.
I wish there were different terms. I don't like friend is problematic. Follower is problematic too, though, for a different reason,
Definitely.
because it implies like guru status, or that I don't know. Following is a weird concept. But what advice do you have then? You're going that direction, and for folks who hopefully there'll be some listening to this conversation. What advice do you have for folks who are new to online spaces and online networks and online community for what they should be doing and what they should be thinking about as they try to build a network or a series of relationships?
I think it's very important to remain professional at first until you get to know people. I've seen people try to jump right in and get silly right away and be rejected, and it shouldn't be like that, but that's how it is in real life too. So you need to be professional so people can get to know you and what you're doing first and get to be able to trust you. I think that if somebody tells you that these are the people you have to follow, and this is what you should do to build your network, it's just not going to work. And it's hard to say because I've got a couple dozen people I would say that I think would be good for everybody to follow, and they've been of such value to me. But making that judgment for somebody else is really difficult. And I never. I don't know if you notice, I never do the Twitter shout-outs where I show off Twitter in a presentation or anything like that because I don't think it makes sense to anybody else. I don't think that really conveys the value of the tool. I think people just really need to realize that this is their personal learning and their personal communications, and that they have the right to follow the people they want. If somebody's out there and they've got these public profiles, then by all means follow them. And if you don't want to follow them or you don't want somebody following you, block them.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anything else you want to say about the lie of community?
Let's see, the lie of community. I think we're going to see a lot of changes in the future. I think I personally find these tools not intuitive. I don't think that it's easy to interact with them, despite the fact that we go around saying how easy they are. I think that we're going to see an evolution where individuals do have more control over how they communicate with people and the people that they select to be a part of their personal network. I don't think it's going to be as complicated.
Do you think there's any risk in that? The simplicity will fiddle with the value of grappling with the decisions, or?
No, I think the simplicity is what keeps things like Twitter still running. I think if they add more to Twitter, I think that's going to be the downfall of it. I don't like seeing the bar across the top now. I don't like seeing the little ads. I think tools where you can instantly access people without having to go through a bunch of ads and applications and things like that are going to be the things that help us really expand the community that we're creating.
Well, thank you. I very much appreciate your time.
Thanks for including me.
Yeah.